We're in this middle piece of Matthew's gospel. This is the year of Matthew's gospel, the gospel everybody loves to hate, the difficult gospel, because the Jesus of Matthew's gospel is a demanding taskmaster for us. And so his words are hard to hear sometimes. But we're in this middle piece of Matthew, and we'll be for some months, which is Jesus ministering basically to Galilee. And this will be going on for a while. It starts today with the passage that Linda read. And there's a word in here that always sticks out for me, compassion. So what does compassion mean? What definition would you give for the word compassion? You know, it's not an easy word to define, and yet the Gospels tell us over and over again that Jesus looked and saw the people and their condition as today and had compassion on them. Now, there's one of those legendary preacher stories. You know, we preachers all get our stories from the same place and just trade them around. There's one that goes like this. A man was watching as a boy walked along the beach early in the morning, picking up starfish and throwing them back into the water. And he asked the kid, "What are you doing?" To which the kid said, "I'm saving the starfish. They wash up on the shore and die." Well, the man laughed and said, "Look at all these starfish. There must be thousands, and only one of you. How do you expect that you'll be able to make a difference?" Well, the boy picked one more up and tossed it in the water and said, "I made a difference to that one, didn't I?" And he kept on with his mission. Maybe compassion is doing your best for the least, when it seems like the odds against you are insurmountable, like saving every starfish in the sea, when you can really, in reality, just save a small fraction. Now, the word that Matthew uses for compassion, I was just telling Linda about this. This is one of those really difficult Greek words, but I know you all love learning a Greek word. It's splagchenizomai is the word that Matthew uses, and it means literally to feel in the inward guts, to feel it in your inward parts. You know what I mean, right? How you feel inside when someone or something moves you to compassion. You know, as an interesting sidebar, the word is used only 12 times in the entire New Testament, splagnicinomai. It's only used in the Gospels and only in reference to Jesus. It's never applied to anyone else. Maybe compassion is nothing more than a feeling. You know that feeling in your guts that makes you uneasy or even sick to your stomach when you witness something? How would you define compassion? And what do we do with it once we feel it? Where does that inner feeling come from? Since compassion is something that we feel in our guts, in our inner parts, it's got to come from something that's built very deeply into us, an integral part of us. We can only feel compassion truly for what we know and what we've experienced. We can sympathize with those who suffer things that we haven't, but we can only feel compassion to those who suffer like we have. You know what I mean? I can sympathize with you over the loss of your spouse, but I can't truly have compassion, real, genuine compassion, until I've been through the same thing. True compassion comes from shared experience. And yet we still get that feeling deep in our guts, don't we? And it's compassion, for lack of a better word. But splagchenizomai, true splagchenizomai, getting better with it, well, that's Jesus' turf. It's not our turf. Because true compassion is more than a feeling. It's how we respond to those feelings. True compassion begins with feeling bad inside, but it ends with action. Look at it this way. When someone dies, we send a sympathy card to express how we feel about the loss of their loved one. If we sent a compassion card, and I've never heard anyone say they were going to send a compassion card. If we sent a compassion card, we'd be obligated to do something about those feelings. Does that help? Maybe that's why the writers of the New Testament only use the word compassion in regard to Jesus and not to any other person. Compassion, I believe, is a gift from God. It's something that God gives us to disturb us, to make us feel queasy and unsettled enough inside. Because what happens when you feel queasy and uneasy and unsettled inside? You reach for the ginger ale or the Pepto or the Tums. You do something about it, right? That's why we have those feelings, to move us into action. Something that festers and grows in us until we're literally moved to do something about it, to look, to see, to do, to help, even and especially when the odds are stacked against us, to fester in us until we reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ and help us in our struggle and them in theirs. In verse 36, Jesus is moved to compassion when he looks out at the crowds that are gathered there. That's what Matthew tells us. They've heard about his healing power, how he's cured disease and every sickness, and that he's proclaimed the kingdom of God, the good news. But as Jesus looks out on these people, he has more than compassion. He sees more than just people in physical need. He sees people who have been harassed, and he realizes how helpless they are without someone to guide them and help them. He sees how vulnerable they are to bad teachings and those figurative wolves that too often prey upon sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus sees more yet. There's one more thing that Jesus can't help but notice. And he notices that there are too few laborers to tend to their needs. Jesus' compassion also realizes that he cannot possibly save every starfish in the sea. He realizes that he needs help. And maybe that's something compassion does for us. It moves us to see the overwhelming need in the world, and it moves us to find ways to meet that need by enlisting the help of others. Biblically, in the New Testament, compassion is always directly linked to addressing the health and wellness of the people. Whether we see compassion in the healing of their sicknesses or feeding of the thousands who are hungry, that'll come a little later. Jesus' compassion is always demonstrated with consideration to the health and well-being of others. Jesus doesn't just feel icky in his inner parts about their suffering. He makes things happen to change the situation. When Jesus sees all those harassed and helpless people, and when he realizes that there are too few laborers, what does he do? He tells his disciples to hit the road. He gives them a divine mission and arms them with specific rules for the road. And that's what this chapter is about that we've just read, the rules for the road. First, they're to go out to the lost sheep of Israel and do two things: preach the kingdom and reveal the kingdom. Preach the kingdom. The message is that the kingdom of heaven has come near. That's the same message that Jesus shares as he begins to call his disciples. Way back in chapter 4, he shares the kingdom with them. And now he tells the disciples, take that same message that I've given you to the lost sheep of Israel. But that message is also tied to the actions that the disciples are instructed to do, to have compassion towards the lost sheep by doing, not just talking. Good Lord, the Lord doesn't need another preacher. How many are there in Bellevue alone? Way too many. And then he asks them to reveal the kingdom, and that's revealed through the compassion the disciples demonstrate. That compassion is the kind that works to get rid of anything that fuels illness or contributes to disease or dis-ease. Reveal the kingdom, Jesus says. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Anyone want to sign up for that job? I'm not sure. I might work on curing the sick, but the dead and the lepers, I don't know. That's a lot. You know, we have a word for all of that. It's called mission. It's how we Presbyterians uniquely chose to preach and reveal the kingdom of God to our world. It's why there's a Presbyterian hospital in most U.S. cities. Ever notice that? There's almost always a Presbyterian hospital. It's why there are so many schools, primary, secondary, college, and university, that have been founded by our denomination over the years. Because we take very seriously the call to compassion that Jesus gives us. And for us, it's most often translated into healthcare and education. Through our one great hour of sharing, which we didn't even get to do this year, did we? Because we haven't been here. That's our big Lenten offering. Our mission projects for our children, we support things like sustainable farming. We bought what? Bees, piglets, chickens, water filter systems. Our youth have gone on mission projects, helping to build homes and feed people. Jesus gives us rules for the road, for lack of a better term, as we practice turning our sympathy into compassion. And the first road rule is to rely on the hospitality of others. If you're not welcomed, he says, dust off the dirt from your feet and move on. Now, we're not to be like the sons of thunder, as he calls them, who wanted to rain down fire on those. That's coming up next. Who wants to rain down fire on those who rejected them? Show compassion, even when you're rejected, he says. Another rule of the road, to heal, cure, and cleanse, but without asking for payment. Did you catch that piece there? We're not like Blue Cross of Nebraska. Without payment. Do it for free. You received without paying. And so do likewise. The kingdom of heaven is nearest when human needs are met through those who freely care for those in need. And no price can be placed on human need. Living a life committed to the teachings of Christ leads us to seek the health and wellness of everyone. Even, and this is a big one, underline this one, even if they do not choose to share our faith or worship with us. So we don't do mission because we hope it'll bring 20 or 30 or 40 people in the door, and we don't say, how would you like to have your health care met? All you need to do is sign on to this. We do because God commands us to. When Jesus looks out upon the masses and has compassion, he sent out his disciples with a mission that would begin to shape the history of things like medicine and wellness and the pursuit of health for centuries to come. And history is full of those stories, that hospitals and healthcare, particularly for the poor and those who couldn't afford a doctor, have always been around from Jesus' time and supported by the church. And monasteries became a place where people could go to receive health care. That's the compassion that we find in and through Jesus Christ. That when there's a need, Jesus shows compassion. Not only does Jesus have compassion on us, but he tells us how to show that same compassion to others. Compassion is linked to action. Action that is liberating and healing. And it's with that same divine compassion that Jesus Christ sends us out on a mission to serve those in need. And that is something that we here at First Pres have done so very well, so often, in so many ways, in our town, in our city, and in the world. So have a little compassion. Or better yet, do a little compassion. Amen.